Welcome to Alive Experience, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal teaches the Word of God with accuracy and power, always leaving his audience empowered, challenged, and ready for change. As you listen, get ready to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Well, this morning we're launching a new series, Red Hot Love. I believe it's going to be very interesting. Amen. So this morning is just an introduction to the subject and trusting the Lord to lead and guide us in it. Please turn your Bible with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 down to verse 9. The Bible says, "But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am." That was Paul speaking, and Paul was unmarried. And Paul was saying, it is good for the unmarried people and those that have lost their loved ones to remain like Paul, meaning to not get married. But he goes on to say, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Say with me, red hot love. To burn with passion. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. But you see, the question is, Paul says, if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. My experience is that if you don't manage self-control before you marry, you will not have self-control after you have married. So we want to talk a little bit about the fact that you should be able to exercise self-control, even if it should later lead to you getting married anyway. Are you listening to me? So we're going to talk this month about love in different aspects. Last year, we spoke about overcoming sexual sin. Hallelujah. But God has a plan and a purpose for your love life. And this month, in this Red Hot Love series, we're going to trust God to give you more tools to help you better prepare yourself, you know, to face that life that is awaiting you. Praise the name of Jesus. So this morning, I'm starting with the first leg of this four-part series. I'm entitling it, I Am Single and Satisfied. I am single and satisfied. The reason why people rush quickly to get married is because they lack the self-control. They are not satisfied in the state of unmarriedness. They feel the need to quickly jump into something most of the time they are unprepared for, unready for. But I believe that all of us might not get married, but all of us will be single at some point. So it is very important that you and I learn how to live as a single person and how to find fulfillment and satisfaction as a single person. Are you listening to me? All right. So also saying that I'm single and satisfied, we're not talking about this arrogant, prideful attitude that people have out there. I'm single, successful, satisfied like that. Just, you know, it's as a result of, you know, anger from disappointment of relationships, and they are just trying to settle for something, and that, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible is clear. It is not good for man to be alone. So we are not trying to say, just be a single person and be satisfied all by yourself. Don't care about the people that disappointed you. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about a state of wholeness where you are okay with yourself. A lot of single people are not satisfied. That's why they want to quickly jump into the marriage. And they end up jumping before the time. Now, there is an appointed time to get involved in a relationship. You see, before we get into the deep, deep, deep stuff this month, I want to start with the first stage where everybody starts in. And that is the state of singleness. How do you maximize? At ABC, we have a lot of single people. And a lot of them have got nothing to, they have no business getting involved in a relationship right now. But they are wanting to jump into it. There is a caution that Solomon gives us in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4. He says, O daughters of Jerusalem, I adjure you, do not arouse or awaken love until the time is right. Do not arouse or awaken love until the time is right. What Solomon was saying was that there is a right time to get into love matters. And equally, there is a wrong time to get involved into love matters. I like the Holman Christian translation. It says, young women of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not stir up or awaken love until the appropriate time. Not every time is the right time. That you have breath now is not the right time. That you have grown a little bit taller and your body features are beginning to reveal themselves does not necessarily mean the time to arouse love has come. That you are beginning to have erections and all these things are beginning to happen is not an indication that the time for love has come. That you were introduced to porn and that your friends started talking about these love matters is not a reason for you to believe that your time has come. That all your friends around you have started having girlfriends and boyfriends and beloveds and it seems like everybody is the in thing is not a proof that the time has come. Do not arouse love until the appropriate time. Most of the problems that we have in our society today is because people broke this law. They went for love when it was not the appropriate time. South Africa is plagued with divorces. I think among the highest countries in the world. And one of the reasons is we jump too quickly. We rush too fast. A lot of young people have turned into perversion. They started dating this type of people and that type of people because they were hurt and broken hearted. And what was the cause? I went before the appropriate time. And I was not ready for what was coming. And now I decide, no, I'm no more a man, I'm this. I'm no more this, I'm this. Because this one disappointed me. Listen, that was not the point. The point is that you went before the time. You went before the time. How many dropouts we have in school every year? Because they went before the appropriate time. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to listen carefully if you are a single person. Now, the married one, you need to listen as well because it will help you realize maybe where you missed it. However, your time is coming. In this service, I'll be talking to you too. But this morning, let's talk quickly to the single. To those that are not yet involved or those that are planning to get involved in this thing we call red hot love. It's not just red, it's also hot. And if you are not prepared, the heat will melt you down. So you better prepare yourself. Quick things to note as I go a little bit further. Not everybody is going to get married. I'm sorry to be the one to announce it to you. But the fact of the matter is, not every single person you see will get married. And we need to settle that matter in our hearts. It is unrealistic for us to think everybody will get married. I wish for everybody to get married. It is my desire and my goal. But the reality of the matter on ground is that not everybody will get married. Jesus didn't get married. Paul didn't get married. Most priests are not married. So not everybody is going to get married. Number two, not everyone will find the love they hope for. I know you are hoping to find the charming prince with the shining armor, but not everybody will find that. I know you're hoping to find your princess Cinderella and all those things that we hear, you know, in school. But I tell you today, those things are fables. That's just the reality. Not everybody will marry and stay married. Some will divorce. I pray that that will never be you and me. And some will lose their loved man through death and other factors of life. I want you to start thinking a bit deeper than just what you see in the white dress and all of this. You have to think beyond that. Which brings me to the point that learning how to be single is a good thing. Mastering the art of being single. Not for the sake of staying single, but if at all my journey might require me to stay single for a while, I must learn how to be a single person. I must master what it means to be a single person. Because most of us will be single. Not all of us will get married. But everybody will be single at some point. So I believe that you should know how to be a single person. You should learn to be successfully single. That's why our title is, I am single and satisfied. I can reach a stage of singleness where I am actually satisfied with myself. I am satisfied with the state of being single. I am not quickly rushing to go into something I'm not prepared for. I am not compromising my value just for the sake of I have a boyfriend, I have a beloved, I have this, I have that. And I jump into something that will become hot. And I will spend my whole life sweating. Never enjoy. Listen carefully. 8 blessings that come to you for being a single person. Number one, being single saves you from troubles of married people. I know all the single people want to get married. But you'll be surprised to realize one day that all the married people will wish to be single again. It's when you are on this boat, you wish you were on this boat. Once you jump on this boat and you stay there for a week, you start redesiring the boat you left on the other side. The Bible does not say that single people have problems. But the Bible is clear. Married people have problems. A lot of problems. And when you are a single person, you are at a place of an advantage. There are certain problems you don't know. There are certain problems you might never experience. For at least the time you are still a single person. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 28, the Bible says, but if you do get married, it is not a sin. So Paul is not against you getting married. He said, if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. Tell the person next to you, you are not sinning if you are getting married. Pastor is not against you. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. Not might have, not could have, will have. Those who will get married will have troubles. And Paul says, and I am trying to spare you those problems. I'm trying to spare you. I'm trying to spare you. Tell your neighbor, God is trying to spare you. That thing you are trying to quickly jump into, you don't understand. The longer you stay away, you are being spared of a lot of problems. A lot of problems. A lot of problems. You have no clue. You have no clue. You see, you are deceived Because every time you see married people, they are wearing the nice clothes, they are coming to church. That's what you see. There's another side. There's always another side for every coin. And Paul is telling you, look, the reason why he didn't get married, he looked at that thing. He saw the problems that are inside that thing. Even Jesus Christ came and said, you know what? I don't think I want to go this road. As you are sitting there, all you are thinking is, and most people, most single people, they don't think about marriage. They think about your wedding day. That's all that is in their head. White dress, black gown, maid of honor, best man, celebration, trumpet, this and that. That's all you are seeing in your head. Your vision is too limited. Your vision is too reduced. There are problems waiting for you. There are troubles waiting for you. In fact, while you are just still busy with the wedding preparation, the problems start coming. And you start realizing there's no more peace between you and your beloved. Things are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. You want out, but you're already in. You can't go out anymore. Never forgot the day I was sitting in my bachelor flat. And I was thinking, when is my wife going home? And I realized, she's not going anywhere. This is her home now. She used to come and visit me. And I was still thinking, after a few minutes, she's going to go away. Then it dawned to me, the girl is not going anywhere. This is it. And I'm going to have to deal with it for the rest of my life. But before you do this thing you want to do, understand being single gives you certain advantages. One of them is that the problems of married people are not your portion. They are not your portion. And it's a great advantage that can set you up to progress in life, to get a lot of other things done before those problems come on you. Before they come on you. Number two, being single gives you a chance to build a strong relationship with God. A strong relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 to 34. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. You have to understand that from the moment you enter that house with that person, your affections are going to change. God told the woman, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. You are free from that law and that curse as long as you are not married. The moment you get married, something comes on you, and it will make you to desire to just be under that man. Everything he wants is what you want to do. You will wish you had that time you are having now to pray as long as you want. You will wish you had your room for yourself where you could read what you want to read. You will wish you had a remote for yourself. Now you can't. You will wish you could stay as long as you want, not have to answer anybody, not have to worry about anybody. All of that will be gone. You will wish you could read the books you are reading. You could listen to the podcast the way you want. Grow deep in God and tell God, Lord, I love you with all my heart. There is nobody in my life except you. Now you can't say that, you will be lying. It will be a lie. You can't even say it. For some of you, even to sing the song, there is none like you. You can't sing that song anymore. Like even if the worship leader is leading the song, you can't sing it. Because you know you are lying. There's somebody else that is becoming like Jesus in your life. Or even taking the place of Jesus in your life. It is very difficult to build a strong relationship with the Lord after you get married. Most of the people you see doing well in their Christianity when they are married, these are people who build their capacity before they enter into the marriage. Those of you that are wasting your time, instead of building your spiritual life, you are busy looking at your beloved or your boyfriend's Facebook page. You are spending the whole time chatting with the person. You are wasting a great opportunity. Once you get married, most of these things will end. And some of you, if you are not careful, you will marry somebody you think is a believer, but he's not a believer. Once he gets in the house, he tells you from today, Bible over, singing finished, everything finished. You'll be surprised. Number three, being single is an opportunity to develop yourself, to train yourself, to be coached. Once you get married, it's difficult for somebody to train you because you are expected to know what to do. That's what a lot of you don't realize. It takes a lot of humility to learn when you are already in the thing. And that's why some people never grow beyond a certain level, because they don't have the humility to go again and submit and learn. Once you are in that house, we are expecting you to know how to cook. And it becomes difficult for you to go back to your mother's house and say, look, I want to learn how to cook. A lot of you don't know how to bake. We always have to buy cookies. A lot of you don't know how to iron. Can you imagine yourself with a ring on your finger going to your mother's house with your husband's clothes and saying to your mother, please, I don't know how to iron the shirt. Can you imagine it? A lot of you can only cook one or two meals and they are not even properly cooked. And that is what you know. So this man is going to have to endure some serious troubles. And that is what we are talking about. The type of troubles that are coming. That the woman doesn't know how to cook. Then you're going to have to either always have money to buy takeaways. Or you're going to have laxatives to always, after you eat her stuff, you have to drink laxative and go and flush in the toilet. You drink laxative, you go and flush in the toilet until she manages to know how to cook. These are the problems we are talking about. Is that most single people don't use the opportunity of singleness to get trained. The Bible says, similarly, teach the older women. That's in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame to on the word of the Lord. Look at all the things that the older women can teach you. They will teach you how to love your husband, how to take care of the children, how to take care of the house. Most women get married without knowing these things. Being single is a powerful opportunity you are wasting away. You could be training yourself, developing yourself. How about you get your driver's license? How about you complete that degree? Do you know how difficult it is for you to be married and to now have to study? Most people that pass degrees are single people. Look, do a study yourself. People that pass degrees are single people. Go to any university during graduation. You will find out that the people graduating, the most of them are single. It's just some very rare cases that you see the man with the woman sitting there. In an entire hall, you might find that just three or four. It is a message to you that if you don't get your start before you marry, it will become very difficult. It will become very difficult. If you like, don't believe me. Keep saying, no, let me marry, and then I will do the masters. You will see the master of what you're going to become. By the time you get married, the master course is going to change. You will be required to be a master of fixing the bed, a master of cooking, you will become a master of something else. So this is your chance to get that master's. Imagine yourself, you are going to your in-laws, depending on a taxi driver who is disappointing you. You don't know how to drive. And you've had 25 years to learn how to drive. You didn't learn how to drive. Now you have married a woman, you don't know how to drive. She doesn't know how to drive. And then you went ahead, started having children. So you don't know how to drive. Your wife doesn't know how to drive. The children don't know how to drive. The whole house is a licenseless house. Use your singleness to fix this thing. How about you get a piece of land when you are single? How about you start laying the foundation when you are single? How about you start a business when you are single? How about you do something? You have a chance. You are still alone. You can do a lot of things. But you are sitting there waiting for somebody to put a ring on your finger. Or waiting to enter somebody. God help you. God help you. Number 5. Being single is an opportunity to learn a trade and get a job. Get a job. Your time as a single person is your opportunity to master a trade. While Jesus was single, he mastered the trade of carpentry. While Paul was single, he mastered the trade of tent making. While Peter was single, he mastered the trade of fishing. What trade are you mastering? When Adam, who is our model, was single, he mastered the trade of gardening and farming. That was his first job. God never gave Adam a wife until he gave him a job first. Read your Bible. The wife came after Adam had a job. Because as a husband, you should be able to provide. You have no business telling girls, sisters in the church, I love you, I love you, I love you. What are you going to do with the love? The Bible says, do not love in words only, but love in action. What action are you going to bring on the love? Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. The Lord God told the man. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. To work. Before the woman comes, there's work first. There's work. There's work. Listen to me. Every single person, you should be looking for a job. You should be getting a trade. You should be fixing your life. I don't think any father should be free to give you his daughter if you don't have a job. And all you sisters that are just waiting for the first Tom and Jerry that comes and say, I love you. I pity your story. Number 6. Being single is an opportunity to discover the will of God for your life. Listen to me. The moment another person enters your life, there's too much interference. to even hear God becomes a problem. A serious problem. If you didn't get the chance to hear God about your life before the person came, chances are you might not go very far in life. Like the big things that God has in store for you, especially if you married the wrong person, you are finished. You are finished. Because if at least you married the right person, peradventure, you can still hear God. But if you married the wrong person, which we'll talk about later in the series, you will see something else. Genesis 2 verse 15 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man. The Lord commanded the man, not the man and the woman. He was talking to one person. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That was the will of God for his life. And the will of God again was, name all the animals. God gave him a lot of things to do. But the will of God for him was, never go here. This is where you should go. Do you know the will of God for your life? Do you know where God doesn't want you to go? Do you know which city God says you shouldn't go? Has God spoken to you about what you shouldn't do? Has God told you, this is not the type of person I want you to be with? Have you heard the will of God? You are just sitting there waiting for somebody to marry you. Then together we'll discover the will of God. It will be too late. It will be too late. It will be too late. And I'm saying this with a sore heart. A lot of young people marry and aware of the will of God. In fact, sometimes the person they marry is not the will of God. And their biggest problem is they don't see God. They don't make use of their single time to build their capacity with God. They are full of lust. They are trying to awaken something that shouldn't be awakened. Number 7. Being single gives God the time needed to work on your better half. God needs time to fix the person he has for you. Understand the person God has for you already exists, but they are not ready. So God needs time to fix the person before presenting the person. When you are too much in a hurry, long before God is done, you are already on the run. Genesis 2, 20 to 22. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of this in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. He was already working, doing a lot of things, but there was no helper for him. And I like the fact, one of the things Adam did right, Adam didn't go looking for a helper. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. God had to do it. He got busy with the work and the assignment. God took over, made him fall asleep. Say with me, time. Yeah. And while he was asleep, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. Say with me, time. All of this is time. God is requiring you to relax. Give him time. Give him time to start operating you, to start working things out. God needs time to do that. Takes time. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken from the man. Say with me, time. All of this is taking time. I hope you realize. And he brought her to the man. That's your moment. When God is done properly, he will come and present. There you go. What do you think? when God is done, properly done, he will present to you. But a lot of us run too quickly. Before God could present, you already went and presented yourself. You presented yourself, you gave your CV, and you gave the reasons why that's the person. Then you take the rib of an elephant. You're trying to put it inside the side of an antelope. God said, this thing will never work. He said, no. I am a magician. This thing is going to work. Imagine the rib of an elephant you are trying to put in an antelope. It takes time. It takes time. And when you miss these stages I'm talking about, you get to pay a higher price later. That's the trouble Paul is talking about. Every step you skip here, troubles await. Troubles await. Plenty. Plenty troubles. I mean, Adam was in the fullness of the will of God for his life. Still trouble came. How much more you and I that are living in this dark world, this fallen world, do you imagine the type of trouble that will come? Number 8, being single gives you the chance to discover, accept, and love yourself. That's where I'm ending this morning. Being single gives you a chance to discover, accept, and love yourself. Mark 12:31, the second is like it in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Relationship is all about love. But there is a big thing single people miss. They want to quickly go and jump and love somebody. Hey, they haven't loved themselves. Let's be honest this morning. Most of us don't really like ourselves. Oh yeah. We don't like ourselves very much. Not to talk of loving yourself. You don't like yourself. Second Samuel chapter 9 verse 8. This is a man who didn't like himself. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" A dead dog like me. This is how somebody describes himself. He sees himself as a dead dog. Most of the time, we are our worst critics ourselves. The 10 spies saw themselves as grasshoppers. Nobody needed to tell them. They themselves know we are grasshoppers. Moses, God is calling him to go and save him. He says to God, "I can't talk. I stutter. I don't know how to talk." When God comes to me and Sarah and says to Sarah, "You're going to have a son." This is the description Sarah has of herself. She said, "How could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure?" A worn out. Every single one of you single people, listen to me. There's an idea you have of yourself. There's an image you have of yourself. This distortion started in the Garden of Eden. When God asked man, "Who told you you are naked?" From that day, Satan has been telling us a lot of things. Satan tells us a lot of things that make us not like ourselves. Satan told me, "You are too black. Nobody will like you. Nobody will like you." He told Sarah, "You are worn out." He told Gideon, "You are the least. You are stupid." Huh? I wonder what Satan has been telling you.
You are not good enough. You won't make it. You will not amount to much. You are poor. You will always be poor. You don't have what it takes to make it. No one will believe you. No one will follow you. You are not the right person. You are not attractive. You are not beautiful. You are not what it takes. He will be telling you a lot of stuff. And those things are designed to make you hate yourself.
A lot of us don't like our surname. We don't like our family. We don't like our skin. We don't like our height. We don't like our eyes. There's so many problems. That's why people go for plastic surgery, this and that. And you are thinking that it is the surgery that will fix the problem. Let me tell you something. The problem is not the surgery. The problem is the voice. Long after you fix the surgery, the voice changes. You now tackle another thing. I could have decided to make myself, to bleach myself. Satan was going to come and pick another thing with me. And this is the problem of single people. They haven't accepted themselves, but they want people to accept them. They haven't loved themselves, but they are expecting another person to love them. A lot of people marry being wretched, paralyzed, totally broken. It's like, they are just giving themselves as a dead dog. Just like this Mephibosheth was talking about. I am a dead dog. No self-worth. No self-esteem. No self-confidence. Always talking down on themselves. Always criticizing themselves. Always hard on themselves. And they wonder why the relationship doesn't work. In this relationship, there are always problems. And if we check at the bottom of this, it's not that the other person is not treating you well. It's that you don't treat yourself well. And you never fix yourself. You were single. You were supposed to use your singleness to fix yourself, to get your life together. You didn't do it. You quickly rushed and you went before the time. Now you are expecting another person to love themselves and to love you for you. And nobody can do that in this world. You must love yourself. If you can't love yourself, then I don't know who can love you. I don't know who can love you. I don't know who can love you. And this is where we are having a problem. A lot of people who hate themselves are expecting other people to love them. They have no value of themselves, but they want people to place value on them. They have rejected themselves a long time ago, but they keep wanting people to accept them. No. Being single gives you this golden opportunity to accept yourself, to discover yourself, and to love yourself. Do whatever it takes to be in tune with yourself. Find out who you are. Find out what you can do. Find out what are your limitations. Use this time to heal yourself. A lot of us enter marriage with wounds that were not supposed to be there. If you were well as a single person, you didn't have to get married with those wounds. They are now a bigger problem in the marriage. Your whole time, you are waiting for the wedding day. You are waiting for the wedding day. Not allowing God to heal you, to fix you, healing yourself through books, healing yourself through counseling, working at yourself, developing yourself. You are sitting there.
Six things you can do to start loving yourself. Number one, stop comparing yourself with other people. You will never be able to love yourself if you are forever comparing yourself with your sister, comparing yourself with that sister in the church, comparing yourself with that other guy, checking yourself with this one, you will never be able to see what God created in you. Stop comparing yourself with the whole world and accept yourself. The Bible says when they compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Number two, start accepting yourself. I like the woman in the book of Songs of Songs. I like her. I think me and her, we are good.
She said, I am dark but beautiful. I accept the fact that I am dark. But that is not all there is about me. There is more about me than the skin that I have. Some of you need to look at yourself and say, I am short but wise. I am tall but handsome. I am fat but glorious. You need to say something about you. There you are struggling with your weight, but you want people to accept your weight. You are struggling with it yourself. We are not fair, you know. We are not fair. You yourself, you can't look at yourself. You can't look at your skin. But when another person hints, even a hint, that, hey, there could be something with that skin, then the World War number 4 has now arrived. Meanwhile, you yourself, you have never accepted yourself. You've never accepted that bump. You've never accepted those breasts. You are struggling with them. But another person mentions it, it becomes war. Start accepting yourself. Start accepting yourself. Start accepting yourself. Number 3, start encouraging yourself. You should spend time encouraging yourself. You see, you have spent years criticizing yourself. You have spent years blasting yourself. You have spent years destroying yourself. Don't you think it's about time you start spending time encouraging yourself? The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You must learn to encourage yourself. Those of you that are there, you are waiting for your beloved to become your encourager. And I hear you in the speeches. Nah, I thank God for my husband. He is my encourager. When I'm down, he lifts me up. When I'm low, he makes me high. You are sick. You are very sick. Because what you are telling me is that the day that husband is out, you are finished. But David says, 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000 on my right hand side. It shall not come near me. I will still encourage myself. I will encourage myself. Number 4, forgive yourself often. Learn to forgive yourself. One of the hardest persons to forgive is yourself. Is yourself. You blast yourself, torment yourself, torture yourself, crush yourself. Then when you are the leftover of yourself, you want this guy to not come and love you. When it's a slam. Reward yourself. I'm teaching you ways to love yourself. There must be a time where you reward yourself. And lastly, prophesy over yourself. Oh, I am blessed. I am loved. I am accepted. I am chosen. I am appointed. I am worth dying for. I am God's servant. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am a new creation. I am born again. I am a king. I am a prince. I am a God. I am like God. I am a child of the king. I am prosperous. I am successful. I am a heir. I am fruitful. I am bearing much fruit. Somebody prophesy. Stand on your feet and begin to prophesy, somebody. Lift your voice and start prophesying. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. It's enough. You have blessed yourself enough. Ah, encourage yourself. Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Quickly this morning before I close the service, you are watching. You are saying, Pastor,
this word has blessed me. I don't know what to say. It's like you have just hit me. No, it's not me, it's the Lord. God wants to help you. Don't be too quick to jump into relationships with others when you don't have a relationship with yourself. You don't have a relationship with God. You are broken inside. You are trying to take these broken pieces to another person to cut his hands with those broken pieces. No, God can heal you. God can heal you. I'm not saying you should be perfect before you marry, but I'm saying try the best you can to be as best prepared as you can. Don't sit there on issues that you could have solved because you're waiting for a prince in the night to help you. Pastor, help me this morning. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to help you. At the count of three, raise your right hand. Pastor will pray for you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Take your hands down. You are saying, Pastor, I want to come back to God today. I think I'm like the prodigal son. I went and I scattered myself. I wasted myself. I hate myself because of how I treat myself. But today I want to receive grace to love myself with the love of God. You are saying, Pastor, I want to come back to God. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand. Oh, yes. God bless you. Now repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Please drop us a comment in the comment section to tell us how this message has helped you. Remember also to subscribe to receive notifications on our latest sermons. You can also watch Pastor Pascal live every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. on our church Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ. Or you can worship with us live in one of our branches in Sun City, Macharora, Padima, Mukwase, Lidach, Rustenburg, and beyond. Have a blessed day, and remember, we are alive to give life. Whether you're